evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, August 27, 2015. International aid agencies call on the warring parties to implement the IGAD compromise peace deal to the letter.
So we hope that with the ceasefire and the demobilization of armed actors, we will have better access so we can deliver our services in the field, in conjunction, of course, with the different governmental authorities which we work with.
And the World Food Program says tens of thousands more internally displaced persons in Upper Nile State urgently need relief assistance.
When we have an ongoing conflict, it means that there are certain times when the areas which we cannot reach, or the areas where we are providing assistance and there is fighting around, and therefore our teams need to move out.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. International aid organizations have welcomed President Kiir's signing of the peace agreement yesterday to end the conflict in South Sudan. Oxfam, the International Rescue Committee, World Vision and CARE International released a joint statement saying the deal must be fully implemented in order for aid agencies to be able to reach people in need of food and medical supplies. Philip Thornaleu spoke to the heads of the two aid agencies in South Sudan and has this report for VOA from Juba.
The head of the IRC in South Sudan says having Mr. Kiir's signature on the agreement can only be a good thing. But says Ronald Paul Bayeo, the terms of the agreement must be respected by all sides for it to have a positive impact on people's lives. He says that is likely to be a harder task than getting all of the parties to the conflict to sign the deal.
We understand that South Sudan is a complex context. The peace agreement is complicated as well. So it's going to take cooperation between all the involved parties to make the implementation with the international community. We are optimistic. We hope these recommendations will be put in place. But we understand that it won't be easy.
Bayou says a permanent ceasefire is needed immediately to enable humanitarian agencies to reach people who need help. The agreement says a ceasefire will begin 72 hours after Mr. Kiir signed the deal, in other words, on Saturday. Bayeo says, without a guarantee that the fighting will stop, it will continue to be difficult to deliver food and education supplies to the 1.6 million people who are displaced inside South Sudan.
We will have better access to all of South Sudan, especially isolated areas where there are some vulnerable populations who need some assistance. So having that access now is great. South Sudan has difficulty when it comes to logistics for roads, using waterways and using the air to ship goods to the field. So we hope that with the ceasefire and the demobilization of armed actors, we will have better access so we can deliver our services in the field, in conjunction, of course, with the different governmental authorities which we work with.
Zlako Gigich is the head of Oxfam International in South Sudan. He says he hopes the compromise peace deal that Mr. Kiir signed yesterday will stop violence against civilians and allow aid workers to safely assist people in need.
Many of our staff, as well as our colleagues from other agencies, have been harassed, detained, and in some cases, unfortunately, killed. That brought up a huge problem to aid agencies to deliver all those life-saving assistances, forcing us to withdraw our staff and suspend operations in a number of areas of South Sudan. That exposed hundreds of thousands of people who are already in dire situation and in terrible conditions to be cut off of even those basic life-saving assistances.
Gigich says he looks forward to the situation in South Sudan changing for the better now that Mr. Kiir has added his signature to the peace deal. He says once there is a ceasefire, Oxfam staff will be redeployed to the countryside to help civilians who have suffered greatly during the 20-month conflict.
We are talking about millions of people who are in very severe food situation. So health services, food, and clean water to prevent outbreak of deadly diseases is definitely the first and immediate need.
The United Nations estimates that around 4.6 million people in South Sudan are severely food insecure, an increase of nearly 1 million from the same time last year. Aid agencies have been unable to reach many of the people in need in South Sudan because of poor infrastructure and the lack of security caused by the conflict. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleo in Juba.
Reaction to President Kiir's signing of the peace deal was swift and largely positive. Hours after Mr. Kiir signed the document, the White House praised him for making the right decision. Regional bloc IGAD, which spent 19 months brokering the agreement, congratulated Mr. Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar for signing the deal. IGAD said the focus will now be on the full and complete implementation of the agreement, which would allow the people of South Sudan to live in peace and prosperity. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said that Mr. Kiir adding his signature to the deal was, quote, a critical necessary step towards ending the 20-month-long conflict that has devastated South Sudan and subjected its people to unspeakable suffering. But the words of congratulations came with warnings. The White House spokesman, Josh Earnest, said the United States had expected Mr. Kiir to make no changes to the deal that he signed.
The United States and the international community does not recognize any reservations or addendums to that document. And President Kiir and the government of South Sudan should abide by the Intergovernmental Authority on Development Agreement, and they should work toward ending the conflict and rebuilding the country.
The government of South Sudan released 12 pages of reservations and additions to the IGAD Plus agreement that Mr. Kiir signed yesterday. Many of the reservations relate to the terminology that IGAD Plus mediators used in the final document. White House National Security Advisor Susan Rice also stressed that the United States will not accept any changes to the agreement. Rice said in a statement that the deal brokered by IGAD is, quote, the necessary step towards ending the conflict and rebuilding the country, and called on all parties to the conflict to work together to ensure peace is restored in South Sudan. She pledged that the United States will support the people of South Sudan as the difficult process of implementing the IGAD Plus deal begins. She vowed that the United States and its international partners will sideline anyone who tries to stand in the way of peace in South Sudan. The United Nations Security Council had threatened to impose sanctions on South Sudanese leaders and arms embargo on the country if Mr. Kiir did not sign the deal without reservations. But yesterday, UN Security Council President Joe Igwe of Nigeria said Mr. Kiir still has some wiggle room before the UN makes good on its threat.
Today is not September 1. He has until September 1.
Igwe was referring to the extended deadline that IGAD gave to Mr. Kiir after he refused to sign the peace deal on August 17. Opposition leader Riek Machar and former detainee Pagana Moon signed the agreement on that day. But Mr. Kiir said he needed extra time to consult with civil society groups and his inner circle before he added his signature to the peace deal. It was unclear if Igwe meant the UN Security Council will go ahead with sanctions and arms embargo if Mr. Kiir does not withdraw his reservations. A final peace deal for South Sudan that was signed yesterday, but internal displaced persons continue to pour into UNMISS protection of civilian camps in Malakal. And for the first time in months, the UN World Food Programme and UNICEF have been able to reach nearly 30,000 people in desperate need of help in Malakal's Wau Shilluk area. South Sudan In Focus reporter Ayen Bior has this report.
The World Food Programme says Malakal's POC camp, which was designed for 18,000 people, is likely to hit 50,000 in a few days if the rate of new arrivals does not slow. The International Organization for Migration, or IOM, says thousands of IDPs have poured into Malakal since fighting ticked up in Upper Nile State in April. Katie Snowball, a reporting officer for IOM, says when she was in Malakal earlier this week, she saw no sign that the influx of IDPs is slowing. She says a lack of space in the camp is making things worse for IDPs and aid workers trying to help those people fleeing the violence in the state.
The humanitarian actors there are really doing an amazing job trying to deal with all the extra people, but people are traumatized, they're very hungry, they're coming in, there's not a lot of room there. They're sheltering often with other people within the community, which is really great, but they're lined up all along the roads. The trucks and the vehicles that humanitarian workers need to get into the site to deal with, like, the water supply system and other things are struggling to get through.
Upper Nile State is South Sudan's main oil-producing area, and much of the fighting over the last 20 months has been concentrated there. The other key battlegrounds have been Unity State, which is also home to many South Sudanese oil fields. In addition to the thousands who have sought shelter in the UN camp in Malakal, some 27,000 displaced persons have flooded into the town of Wau Shuluk on the west bank of the Nile River. On Monday, UNICEF and the WFP reached the town by way of mobile emergency relief teams for the first time since March. UNICEF representative in South Sudan, Jonathan Veach, says many agencies have been forced to scale down their operations on the west bank of the Nile because of the fighting there. George Faminian is WFP's communications officer for South Sudan.
It is quite a challenging situation. You know that we are operating in a situation where we have an ongoing conflict. And when we have an ongoing conflict, it means that there are certain times when there are areas which we cannot reach, or there are areas where we are providing assistance and there is fighting around, and therefore our teams need to move out.
Fear of more violence combined with no food assistance in places like Wau Shuluk has contributed to the mass influx of IDPs into the Malakal POC site. Faminian agrees with Snowball that at this rate, the situation inside Malakal's UN camp will get out of control.
The hope is for more support to South Sudan as a whole, because we are faced with a very complex humanitarian crisis which needs a response. And therefore, it's an opportunity here to call on the world not to forget South Sudan.
Snowball says hopefully President Kiir's decision to sign the peace deal yesterday will pave the way for sustainable peace in a country that has experienced 20 months of conflict.
But even if that happens, it doesn't mean that peace is going to happen overnight.
Snowball says for people to be able to return to their homes, they need to feel safe. Safe enough to walk to markets and to work in the fields to grow crops for food. They also need a source of clean water. She says restoring all those things will take time and will require that all aspects of the peace agreement be abided by and fully implemented. For now, though, Snowball and Faminian say South Sudan's 1.6 million IDPs still need the support of the humanitarian community. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
VOA fellow Tito Justin contributed to that report. One area that immediately felt the economic benefit of President Kiir's signing of the peace deal is South Sudan's national currency. In the 24 hours since Mr. Kiir signed the deal, the South Sudanese pounds has surged ahead against the US dollar. Money changers in some towns are selling one US dollar for 10 South Sudanese pounds today. 2 days ago, the black market rate was 16 South Sudanese pounds to the dollar. But as Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Wau, not everyone is happy about the strengthening national currency.
In Wau today, one US dollar will buy you 11 South Sudanese pounds. At the start of the week, the same dollar would have fetched 16 pounds on the black market, which is where most South Sudanese buy and sell currency. Amule Peter buys and sells currency on the black market in Wau. He says in the hours immediately following Mr. Kiir's signing of the peace deal yesterday, he saw a sharp increase in the number of customers trying to get rid of U.S. currency. He says the dollar sell-off is being driven by national pride.
The facts remain that since yesterday, we can see other people are turning out with their dollars. They expected us at least to change it for them. But the price, we can see even the other one dropping the price, they can tell us that it's 1,200, 1,300. Yesterday is 1,400, but today, since in the morning, we are changing now to 1,200. Before yesterday, it's 1,600. There's a great change between these 2 days because people are proud of the peace which has been signed.
John Mariak is a currency dealer in Juba. He says South Sudanese pound began gaining strength against the dollar almost immediately after it was announced that President Kiir had signed the peace deal. Mariak says one U.S. dollar bought 17 South Sudanese pounds at the beginning of the week on the black market. After Mr. Kiir signed the peace deal, the rate dropped to 12 pounds to the dollar, and today pound is trading at 11 to 1. Mariak says the pound is gaining ground because of the peace agreement, but he is not happy about the strengthening pound. He says Mr. Kiir signing the deal has caused losses to business people and money traders like him. Abdul Ghazim Ibrahim disagrees. Ibrahim sells clothes and shoes in Wau Town. He says when the pound loses ground against the dollar, prices shoot up. So now that the pound is gaining ground against the U.S. currency, he hopes traders will reduce commodity prices. Ibrahim says that will help retailers like him and their clients. The value of almost everything in South Sudan is related back to its dollar exchange rate. In the Jonglei State Capital Bor, merchant Ismail Mukwaim says even though the pound is gaining value against the dollar there, too many items are still too expensive for ordinary South Sudanese to afford.
So we want those people to reduce to be 1,000. In Juba, they are saying that it is 1,000, but here is still. I want those people to reduce to be 1,000.
Alpha Kaba owns a boutique in Wau's Joe Market. He says he is not yet feeling the positive impact of the improving exchange rate, and he cannot pass on any benefits to his customers.
The goods I ordered last time, I bought them with the high rate, so I have to cover this need maybe within 1 week. We'll see if the change continues. It's good, we'll decrease the price. But right now, my price is not yet decreased.
But Wau trader Isaac Yahya Hussein says there is something far more important than the strengthening pound, and that is the fact that South Sudan's leaders have finally signed a peace agreement. If 20 months of fighting comes to an end, Yahya says the benefits to the people of South Sudan will be priceless. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva, Aurelio, in Wau.
Philip Thongalewu in Juba and Jacob Achiek in Bor contributed to that report. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A 9-member panel embarks on a peace-building tour in western Bahr al-Ghazal state. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what changes in your life when the rainy season begins or ends?
My country is a developing country. The roads get very bumpy, so more potholes. So I have to be very careful on the road. And yes, the dry season too is so hot. So that means if you don't have AC in your car, it's very, very uncomfortable. Your room is so, so hot.
During the rain season, so many things do happen positively. You plan your crop and you harvest them. At the end of the day, you will be able to get something out of the rain season.
When the rainy season begins, I always have a fear for catching some waterborne diseases, especially where we are staying, where there is poor drainage systems. So me and my family always get worried about getting mosquito infections.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A Western Bahr al-Ghazal state community in Juba has formed a committee that will try to help end insecurity in their homeland. The 9-member team, known as the Goodwill Committee, is visiting Wau this week to meet with community leaders, officials, and citizens to understand why some youth have joined the rebel group belonging to Riek Machar. VOA fellow Kaltuma Vanessa has the story from Washington.
Yasmin Kasim, one of the two women serving on the committee, says preliminary findings indicate that insecurity in Wau dated back to late 2012. When the state government moved to relocate the headquarters of Wau County to Ngobagari, a decision that outraged many people.
They raised the issue of the accident of Wau that happened in 2012 when the government tried to move the head of the county to the Bagari area. So the community here in Wau County, they refuse, and then they face this refuse with the force.
At least 10 people were shot and killed when the Wau County community organized a peaceful protest against the relocation of their county headquarters in December 2012. As a result, many youth were arrested and detained for months without being charged. Ahmed says at that time, many youth in Wau opted to join Machar's rebel because they feared security agents could arrest them at any time for one reason or another. 39-year-old Monica Ilario Kaima, a civil society activist in Wau, says through the Goodwill Committee, seems to have good intention. Their efforts have come too little, too late.
You see, many people lose their life. People are frustrated. If the committee, if it was to be earlier than this one, or like during the time the conflict of the issue of transferring the county, if they do it within that time, it could help. But now it is too late.
Authorities in Wau County have repeatedly accused Machar's rebel of planning to assassinate leaders of their community. In May of this year, unknown gunmen assassinated the paramount chief of Wau County, Angelo Gagari, alongside with his wife. And early this month, a local Bagari leader, William Camilo Gagi, was injured and two others killed in an ambush along the Wau Morobo Road. Ahmed believes now that the two warring parties have signed a peace deal, the Goodwill Committee will help reconcile communities torn apart by conflict in Western Baragazal State. She says later this year, her group will travel to Khartoum to meet with Western Baragazal State youth who fled to the Sudanese capital due to insecurity at home.
And after that, we will go to Juba and start to put what we are going to do. Because also, we tell the governor that we can open a canal to talk with these people because some of them is in Khartoum.
Members of the Goodwill Committee, who spent a week meeting in Wau, says they hope they are helping to lay the groundwork for lasting peace. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Washington.
Michael Atit prepared that report from Wau. Still in Wau, like many other places around the world, carpentry in South Sudan is a profession dominated by men. Women are seen as unqualified. But in Western Bahr al-Ghazal State, women are breaking through this barrier thanks to a training being offered at the training center in Wau. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Wau, girls enrolled in the program are proving they have what it takes to be a carpenter.
Women like 25-year-old Faster Claudio, who enrolled in the church-funded program at Wau's Don Bosco Vocational Training Center, says the work is not easy, but she is determined to see it through. Claudio wants to be part of a movement that is tearing down gender barriers in Western Bahr al-Ghazal.
If I tell people I am doing carpentry, they will say, why don't you do computer or any other professional? Because carpentry is for men. But I will tell them this is what I want. In one instance, when they saw me making table or chair, they act surprised and ask, is it me doing this good job?
With her new skills, Claudia says she hopes to establish her own workshop to make tables and other furniture. Claudia's training at the Don Bosco Vocational Center was supported by the government of Japan and the United Nations Development Program. Like Claudio, 20-year-old Rania John graduated from the program this week. She says she was inspired by her uncle, a carpenter, who she hopes to work alongside one day soon.
I have the hope that after graduation, I will go and help my uncle who has already established a workshop. So I have bought my tools, and I will do the same work he has been doing and I will treat my customers well.
Some Western Baal Ghazal residents insist carpentry is a profession to be practiced by men only. Samia Juma says carpentry work requires muscles.
Carpentry is a job for men, not women. For women, they can do business of tea making, bread selling, and brewing alcohol.
Though this perception remains high among women, men seem to be more flexible. Some say they are even eager to employ female carpenters in their workshops. Marco Mungu, who runs a carpentry shop in Jebel, says his workshop will hire women who have acquired the right skills and says he thinks they would be especially good at drawing and designing furniture.
Carpentry has different specializations. Things to do with joinery can be left for men because it requires climbing up. And things like making furniture, drawing chairs or tables, we welcome girls to come and work with us in the workshop here.
Father Sunil Oratel, principal of the Don Bosco Vocational Training Center, says there is a great need for more of these kinds of technical training programs, especially to nurture self-reliance among women.
As per the last statistics of South Sudan that is published, in 2010, there were 25 students for engineering in the whole of South Sudan. And therefore, there is a great vacuum, great gap between those who complete the secondary school or the primary school and the job market.
The same program training women as carpenters also trains women to be auto mechanics. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. International aid organizations have embraced President Kiir's signing yesterday of the peace deal. Oxfam and others say the deal must be fully implemented now so that aid agencies can reach people who desperately need food and medical supplies. Reaction abroad has been swift to President Kiir's action. The White House praised Mr. Kiir for doing so. IGAD, which mediated the on-and-off negotiations, congratulated Mr. Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar and said the focus also must now be on implementing it. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said Mr. Kiir's signing was, quote, a critical and necessary step toward ending the 20-month-long conflict that's devastated South Sudan and subjected its people to unspeakable suffering. And finally, despite yesterday's signing, internally displaced persons continue arriving in large numbers at the unmissed protection of a civilian site in Malakal. And for the first time in months, the UN's World Food Program and UNICEF are now reaching nearly 30,000 people in desperate need of help in Malakal's Wal Shaluk area. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now take you to Khartoum with the song Anas Sudani by Sumaya Hassan.
حكموا العدل في الورى زمننا طرى هل يعود ذا الزمن ردد الدهر حسن سيرتهم ما بها حطة ولا ذرن نزحوا
We have been listening to Sumaya Hassan and her song, Anas Sudani. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.